It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You hear some horror stories that, you know, people get feel hurt and everything, but how did it go for you?
It wasn't a process I wanted to go through, but I understand that it's a business.
When you go into that room, you don't say a word.
My arbitrator started first, said all these great things.
The arbitrator on their side, their job is to help the management side and to rip players. And hearing that you're not worthy of what you think you're worthy of, that was hard to hear. You don't forget what was said. I wrote them down, and I looked at them the other day, and I had a couple of check marks. My biggest knock was how I wasn't trustworthy in playoffs. Check.
Check.
That'll do it for me. All set on the Jeremy Swim in front. Me. Take it easy, bud. Have a great career.
So you're out.
I wanted to be... So this whole process, I've been of the mind that I like Swayman. He's a good player. I side with players over management 99.9% of the time, 100% of the time in football, and most of the time in the other sports. And I was like, get Swayman done, get him a fair deal. And even though he's asking for 10, all right, it's negotiations. They offer 6 and change, whatever. If they land on 8, I think 8's fair. And we know that he has taken the arbitration thing personally. Uh-huh. How do we know that? He won't shut up about it. He's nonstop. And how pathetic is this? It sounds awful when he's like, yeah, and then he's like, you know, the arbiter is like, and it's their job. He even admits, like, it's their job to sort of say, like, why you're not worth, like, what you're asking for.
Awful things about me.
And then he's like, I wrote a list down, and I stare at it every night, and I look at it on the wall, and they said, not trustworthy in the playoffs. And I said, check. Oh, yeah, when you were skating around with the cup, when was that? When were you, like, you had a good playoff run for a series and a half or whatever it was. Like, look, let's not go crazy.
I'm very
sorry to disappoint you.
I'm like, very, very pro Jeremy Swayman, but it's like,
how can you be?
You beat the Leafs. Everybody beats the Leafs.
You beat the Leafs in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, I mean, like,
let's count the goalies who have beaten the Leafs in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, Linus Ullmark never advanced in the postseason, and so Swayman went farther than Linus Ullmark. But, like, everybody beats
it's
the Leafs.
It's just too sad sack for me.
I'm
like,
still,
enough.
I'm still on his side, but that's hard to stop.
Okay.
I'm with you on that.
Too dull to be around.
at least you can admit that. Yeah. That is a rough go. I'm like, come on,
yeah,
man.
But, like, the Bruins have also been, like, real pissy and hard to defend on a bunch of stuff, too.
No doubt. And if Cam Neely is wrong about the $64 million.
Wow, we want him to take our $8 million and he won't
handle
do
himself
it.
Well.
Yeah, like, okay, so I'm saying. So they're being bitches on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, the Swayman stuff is ridiculous. Like, dude, you went to arbitration.
Check.
You told everybody, like, I didn't want to do it. Yeah. I wrote down the list of negatives
they
had.
I beat the Leafs. Check.
Yeah. I could see him like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison scratching it off with lipstick, like, and then putting it on himself, just be like going to sleep. Like, yeah, I don't love the sound of this guy. Also, does it sound like a guy who could just sign a deal and then move on and get it over with?
No.
Or does he hold on to that for the rest of his life?
This is like,
and trust me, part of me is pro holding a grudge, but it's like, dude, you got to get out there and you got to play.
Yeah.
And this is part of the business. This is part of the business you signed up for. You're a businessman. You also told us that. You went to Maine Business School with some of the other most intellectual people in the world. And now you're coming back. And you, on the one hand, acknowledge what an arbitration is and how it goes. And yet you're shocked that they had, like, counterpoints. Like, then the other side wouldn't be doing their job if they were just like, yeah, everything Jeremy's agent's saying is right. Let's go with this. Let's give him everything he wants.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No, it's not.
So that's it. Now, unfortunately, the Bruins decided to get Korpisalo as the fallback plan, and he sucks out loud.
He was not good last night in Quebec City.
So that's, I guess, true. I'm a bussy or bust guy.
Oh, bussy or bust?
Bussy or bust.
Oh, I like that.
That's a new, I come up with a lot of these trendy hashtags.
So you got ABB, anyone but Brissette.
Yep. Don't break Drake.
Don't break Drake. That was a good one.
That's not how I feel, but that is something that people, like half the audience, enjoys.
Yeah, that's Ken.
And now I am bussy or bust because it can't be Korpisalo, and I'm a little sick of Swayman.
B or B.
Who's sick of Swayman?
Sickest way.
Did you? And I'm not the only one.
That was basically the sign last night in Quebec City.
Did you see the sign in Quebec City last night?
Yeah.
What did it say? $64 million or go home or something like that, or get out of here?
Yeah. To which I said, I didn't know Cam went all the way to Quebec City last night.
Yikes.
Wow, I didn't realize Jeremy Jacobs bothered to drive
to
Quebec City.
He's like, hey. Wait, was that Cam Neely? Like, cut away.
Wow, Cam.
But yeah, I mean, Jeremy Swayman is harder and harder to defend. I think he's a good goalie, but it's relentless with this stuff.
What else did he? Did he have something
this,
else?
Yeah,
that he
this
said?
Doesn't help him.
Okay, so I haven't heard this other one. So that was Jeremy Swayman on this face-off special that's coming out.
On Crime, I think.
Crying about being taken to arbitration or going. He chose to take the team to arbitration. So going to arbitration. I shouldn't say being taken there. Going to arbitration, and the team said mean things about him and like, oh, you're not trustworthy in the playoffs. Which, by the way, in his defense, they did only beat Toronto. I'm looking at some of the goalies Toronto has.
Oh, all of them, probably. Nickname a
guy.
Well,
it's been Vasilevsky. It was Swayman last year. It was Vasilevsky for a couple of years.
All right.
It was Carey Price. So, I mean, in fairness, they've run into some good I'm going in Bobrovsky. Reverse order here. Yep, Bobrovsky. I'm sorry, you're right. Bobrovsky was in there as well.
You're off the force, Bobrovsky.
So, yeah, you're right. You if you lose to the Leafs, you're definitely
off the force. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But he did lead the postseason in save percentage last year.
Oh, he was good. There's no doubt.
And his overall numbers in the playoffs are pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at it, he's a losing record, 9-10. But he's a .922 save percentage, .238 goals against. Last year was .215 and .933, that .933.
Oh, yeah, no, he was good in the playoffs, but it's also like, check. It's like,
check.
You lost in the second round. It's not your fault.
I beat the choking Leafs.
Like, you needed more help, but I feel like a more resounding check mark might be like a Stanley Cup appearance.
The Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967.
Yeah.
Check.
They didn't even start you every game.
They've been out of the first round in the postseason once since 2004, and that was 2 years ago in 2023. Check
mark.
So anyway, that was one thing that he said on Prime. What was the other line here, Nick?
So after game six, when everybody was chanting his name, he kind of took in the moment.
I was just thinking about that jersey, like, is it the last time? You know, that's when I was like, whoa. And like, you're skating around the garden, you're looking up, and you're hearing your name chanted, and it's like, whoa, like...
It could be the last time I wear a Bruins jersey, and I know I'm going to do everything in my power to be a Bruin for a long time. As a kid growing up in Alaska, this was in my wildest f***ing dreams.
Ow, easy.
I never want it to end, and I'm just so grateful that the sun's going to rise tomorrow and there's another opportunity.
What?
Whatever I can do to help this team win, I know everything else will take care of itself.
Hey, he's like, booty. I don't know if I'm going to play, but at least I'm not dead.
If the sun comes up tomorrow,
Leonard,
pay me.
I'm just so grateful that the sun's going to rise tomorrow.
Yeah, same, dude, but like, come on! Skating around, they're chanting my name after a, you know, first-round playoff win.
What? You know what we should do?
I don't know if I'll ever be back.
No, you're out on Swayman.
At least the sun's coming up tomorrow.
Like an emo Swayman? Like,
emo Swayman.
Should we do like an emo Swayman kind of thing going on? Has that been done? Is that a bit that's been done before on radio? Like an emo
Swayman?
Like an emo
Swayman, or
like Swayman in his feelings.
Jeremy Swayman or The Cure? Who said it?
Yeah.
I'm with you on
that. Something like that. Like, did Jeremy Swayman say it, or was it, you know, some emo? Yeah, The Cure is perfect. Robert Smith? Is that who it is?
Sounds a lot like Jeremy Swayman.
I'm just so grateful that the sun's going to rise tomorrow.
Yeah, Robert Smith. Was it Jeremy Swayman or Robert Smith?
Hope the sun comes up tomorrow. This could be the last. I'm going to do whatever I can in my power to be on the team. Well, that's not true.
He also said like six times through the episode, this could be the last time I put the sweater on.
It's like, well, he called it a jersey. I didn't want to jump down his throat, but he called it a jersey in the clip you just played. Yeah. Maybe properly referred to it as a sweater.
Not a hockey guy.
Yeah, maybe that's why the Bruins don't want to pay.
He exposed himself. Not a hockey guy.
Calls a sweater a jersey. Yeah. What a loser.
I don't know what he's even talking about.
Probably steps on the B in the dressing room.
But listen, I don't know how. I mean, I know you're still Team Swayman, but that is a tough blow there. The stuff coming out of this Prime series. The Bruins have backed themselves into a corner where I think they still need the guy. A Korpisalo season is crazy. Like, if Ullmark was still on the team, and I know he has his playoff issues, but I'd be like, all right, spend the money somewhere else. Like, Swayman, I don't think he's, like, what a mess.
Okay, well,
let me have to shy away from it. There's a contract on the line.
I got real sad about it. Like, again, that's hard to defend.
He's a baby.
But then it's also hard to defend the Bruins not wanting to pay their goal. Because, like, what are you going to do? You're not going to have him on the team? So now it's Korpisalo, who sucked last night. My guy, Corpy.
He stinks.
Your guy, Bussy?
Yeah, Bussy or Bust.
Bussy or Bust? What was it? Sickestway?
Sickestway, Bussy or Bust. Korpisalo off my team.
Korpistinko, yeah. So there you go. So it's just last night. It's
can
like,
we get Tuukka back?
This can't help.
No.
This can't help him.
No.
That sign shows you there's real frustration, at least up in Quebec City.
Yeah.
You know, on the ramparts up there. There's real frustration about Jeremy Swayman. $64 million or go home. My God. And he's not even there. They were showing it to Korpisalo. He's not even there. Who are you showing that
but
sign to?
But it's also like, all right, he says he's going to do whatever is in his power to be back on the team. And if they really offered him 8 years, $64 million, it feels like in a vacuum, that's a very fair deal. And he's letting everything else bother him. Like, he's like, the fact that it's taken this long is bothering him. So like the end result. So it's like, if you're fighting for even a contract in your, and I hate these comparisons, but let's say you're fighting for a contract in your own job somewhere. And the way it goes is so horrible. But then ultimately you get what you were hoping and at the end of it. Like, don't you just suck it up and take it? Like, you're still annoyed, but you're like, at the end of the day, 8 years, $8 million per season. If you asked that sad sack skating around the garden last year, that's what he was going to get. I bet he would have taken it.
Yeah, that's true. If you would have asked him then in the middle of that interview, what would you take? He probably.
But hey, not only is the sun coming up tomorrow, Jeremy, but there's going to be $8 million per season attached to it.
Well, that was before he beat the Maple Leafs, though.
That's true. Check.
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 Advantage Swayman. Not really. Not so much. Hey, like, what a bummer.
Hey, did you bring that girl home from the bar last night? Check.
Yeah. Check.
Yeah, check.
Yeah, I fell asleep on the couch. Like, all right, well, you got her in the door, though, at least.
Check.
Things are going your way.
Good point here on the text line, 37937. Does the sun actually rise every day in Alaska? I don't think it does.
Famously, it doesn't. There's something called 30 Days of Night, which is a great comic book turned movie where vampires go.
Oh.
Because there is no sun for a month.
Oh, so they can just hang out there?
Oh, the vamps?
They don't
just
need
to wreak havoc.
Don't need their daylight rings or anything.
Doesn't
like
matter.
That.
No, they're just smoke. They don't have daylight rings. This is like real vampires.
Vampire diaries.
This is real vampires.
They have daylight rings and vampires.
They go to Alaska. They're and just so, like, oh, they could destroy towns.
What was the, wasn't there a De Niro movie?
No, but there's a lot
Pacino,
of De Niro
no, I'm sorry, Pacino movie where
ton
he,
of them.
Where he was Insomnia? Wasn't that?
Insomnia.
Yeah.
That was Alaska, right?
That was Alaska.
Yeah.
Sun didn't set. No. This is the opposite of it never rose. The sun never set.
The latest season of True Detective was in Alaska, and that just seems like it would mess with you.
Yeah.
30 days of night? Eesh.
How many days a day do you get? There must be a bunch of days with no night.
Maybe 30 at some point.
The insomnia, probably, yeah. The
I don't think I'd want that either.
No. It sounds like a bad place.
I like
it.
Sounds
like a real bad place to live.
I like all four seasons.
Yeah.
I like days and nights.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't want to go to Alaska.
Yeah.
But Swayman's not in Alaska. He could be living in Boston. He could be living in the North End, for God's sake.
Where is he? We don't know where he is.
Having a big pasta meal every night.
We don't know where he is.
He's AWOL. Could be anywhere.
It's true. All I can think of when he's talking about, this could be the last time I pulled the sweater on. I'm sorry, he called it a jersey. Is he was real, like, philosophical in the middle of the playoffs. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
actually,
in the middle
I do.
Of the playoffs, he was, like, getting real philosophical about it. And we all thought it was, like, a weird, like, leadership tactic and, you know, kind of some nonsense psychiatry psychobabble. But it turns out maybe this is just he really was wondering because he's still so pissy about his contract.
He's so pissy about it.
It's hard to defend. I don't like defending it, but I also don't want to be on the Bruins side who've been real pissy about it as well. And so I'm still with Swayman.
Yeah, the truth is they kind of need each other at this point.
I stand with Sway. Keith, you what?
Good Lord, I am sick. Hashtag sick of Sway.
Sick of Sway. I stand with Sway. Who's right? Who's wrong? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Gerard Mayo was asked earlier today about a mutiny. We'll get to that. Coming up later on in the program, we'll also talk to Alex Van Pelt, Patriots offensive coordinator here today on Patriots Friday on Jones and Keith. We'll get to a four-pack of questions for Pat's Dolphins. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. I can't think of Will Smith now without saying, did you see the...
Yeah, when he slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Yeah,
that's one thing.
Did you see that, Rich?
You know what, Jones? I'm glad you asked. Yeah. I was actually watching that live, thinking like moments before that. I'm like, why do I watch the Oscars all the time? I'm like, all my favorite movies are never nominated, like all this nonsense. And then all of a sudden, wha-bam! He just hit that guy.
Yeah, he really did. Really did.
But, I think the comeback tour for Will Smith has stopped. He did come out with the new Bad Boys with Martin.
I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it either, and I love the first two. But that was kind of it. I don't think he's in really plan to be in much else going forward.
So you didn't see he was on, I'm sure you're a subscriber, Kelly Ripa's podcast? You didn't see this?
He was on Kelly Ripa's podcast? Yeah. This is news to me.
It's actually an ironic name for the story. Headline at TMZ, Will Smith, his butt is a lethal weapon.
How's that?
I
did hear about the fart story.
Just ask the Men in Black director. They were the
cleared out a soundstage, I think.
The scene in the first Men in Black, him and Tommy Lee Jones are driving through the tunnel and they're in the car and they're going, you know, a million miles an hour.
Yeah. Reckless.
Will Smith was reckless.
Yeah.
He was farting it up and cleared out the whole soundstage.
They had to halt production for days.
For hours.
Yeah. Hours. Days is strong. They were able to get a fan in there and clear it up. That's disgusting. That speaks to like an issue I think you have. Maybe like intestines or something.
Yeah, the director, Barry Sonnenfeld?
Yep, classic.
I like this. He said,
So Will Smith's trying to make a comeback and he goes on the Kelly Ripa podcast?
Apparently. All right. Which again, nice place for this story.
Couldn't get on the show, but got on the podcast.
Yeah, she's like, no.
There you go.
No.
Smith, yeah, right. Right. We can't fit you anywhere on Kelly and Mark.
Yep.
Smith was very apologetic, according to Sonnenfeld, who described Will as a lovely guy, but...
Yeah.
A farter, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Adding, it's just how some people are.
True. I suppose that is true.
Clearing out the soundstage.
Yeah.
That is,
well,
that's something.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
So mad. The best acting performance of the night.
Very
right
angry.
There by Will Smith.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you know.
He won the Best Actor Award that night.
Yeah.
He took home the trophy.
King Richard.
Yeah.
I didn't see that film.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. You like the you're a tennis fan. You think you'd watch that.
I am a tennis fan. You would think the etiquette in tennis is not farting all over the place, but yeah.
No. Yeah. He was out there coaching him up, though. Mitchell, you know, forehand, backhand, et cetera.
Yeah. That's true.
Heavy serve.
So the Patriots are playing Miami this
week. That's
weekend.
Right. Squish the fish.
Not in Miami. They'll be taking on the Dolphins. And we have a four-pack of questions. Isn't that right, Billy Landy? We have a four-pack of questions for Patriots and Dolphins.
That is correct. Question one, what player off the Dolphins would you want most on the Patriots?
I'm going to let you go first on this one because
he's a horrible person, but Tyreek Hill, he's got to be the answer. He is a top-five receiver. He's proven it. You know, even without Mahomes, he could still light it up. I think he's good for a few more years. Horrible, horrible guy. But, I mean, he is a top five wide receiver in the league, and they desperately need a wide receiver. So I would probably go Tyreek Hill.
So Tyreek Hill would have been my choice. Let me give you a backup. This is a player I like a lot on the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. I like Javon Holland, the safety.
Yeah.
And ironically, the Patriots, before Duggar got hurt, they're actually pretty well stocked at that position. I like Javon Holland. I think he's a good player. So that would maybe be an area to look. I feel like every week we're answering quarterbacks and wide receivers. So right. To give some variety, that's a player I like a lot on Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the right answer is, Hill.
Or Waddle.
Waddle.
Yeah.
Achane even, who I think is more dynamic than
They're
a guy like
fast.
Like Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah. What about a Jonnu Smith? See him popping off.
Yeah, Patriots could probably use a guy like
that. He's on there.
Jonnu Smith is a good answer. So I'll go, for the first time all year, I'll go defense. Give me Javon Holland. I like him.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, what else do we got there, Bill?
Number two, what Dolphins jersey, past or present, would you want?
Oh. I also bet we're similar on this. I want a Mark Clayton jersey.
Oh, nailed it.
Is it?
Yeah, the Marx Brothers. I think a Duper or
Duper
Clayton.
Duper or Clayton is exactly what I was thinking earlier today. Yeah. But yeah, I preferred Clayton out of the two. I think he's the better player out of the two.
Yeah.
I was looking up some of his numbers this morning. He had 18 touchdowns 1 year, five-time
boy.
Pro Bowler. Mark Clayton is the guy I like better out of that duo, but quite a duo for Marino and those flying
good
fish,
Tecmo Bowl receivers.
Was he?
Yeah,
were they?
The Marx Brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were great. What about an O.J. McDuffie? Did that get you going a little bit?
O.J. McDuffie.
Yeah.
I liked O.J. McDuffie.
Yeah, he was good.
No,
he's
I remember
good
like Zach Thomas, like that era of Dolphins.
Yeah, it was that era.
Yeah.
Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor, I bet would be the ones that most people got.
Aronde Gadsden?
Aronde Gadsden.
Is that his name?
Yeah. I believe so.
He was on those teams.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
He burned hot there for a season or two.
That Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Not the other Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Not the one that Lil Dicky rapped about.
What was his given name?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Oh, Lou Alcindor.
No.
The other one?
The backup.
The running back? Yeah.
Not the backup. I'm sorry. The running back.
He was good for like a couple years. I want to say like late 90s maybe. He got some burn there. But yeah, they had a whole bunch of guys. You finding it? What about a Ray Finkel?
A Ray Finkel would be a great,
I think some
choice
of those websites have them. They have like all like the fictional athlete jerseys.
Bill,
you got a
this
Dolphin?
Is shockingly harder to look up than you would think. Sharman Shah was his name.
Sharman Shah?
Shah. S-H-A-H. Sharman.
I would have changed it too. Bill, you got
mine was, I liked the Zach Thomas.
Yeah.
He was a 55, I believe.
54.
Was he a 54?
He was 54, and then wasn't Taylor 99?
Yeah,
Taylor was 99.
Jason Taylor would be a good one.
There was also one, and this is not a no-name player, but you would never get him, and it's just because I always had a joke about The Simpsons, was Brent Grimes.
Yeah,
because
Grimes.
I thought about The Simpsons where Frank Grimes died and he goes Grimy, as he liked to be called by his friends, and he hated Grimy.
Frank Grimes.
So whenever I saw Brent Grimes, that's all I thought.
Do you remember Miko Grimes? His wife?
Miko Grimes.
She was a very outspoken wife of player.
Let me tell you, though.
She had a couple of comments that are so good, but I don't think I can say them on the air.
I'm pretty positive you can't. That's a ride or die chick right
that
there, though.
That is.
That she is.
Oh, yeah.
She's down to
so
ride.
I just Googled her and typed her name up, and the photo that popped up clearly looks like a mugshot.
Miko
maybe
Grimes.
Wearing could a be Grimes jersey.
Yeah. No, I respect it.
She's awesome.
That's a woman who loves him very much.
Correct.
And will fight for her man.
He was a good player, though, too, in all seriousness.
Well, and he would, like, get under people's skin. That's a great one. Brent Grimes.
Brent Grimes.
Or Grimy. Or Grimy, as it were. Why do I think he, I thought he played for Tennessee. He played on Miami. I don't remember about Miami.
He played for a bunch of different
teams.
He played for Tampa.
Yeah, I think he jumped around the league
right
a little bit.
Okay, but so I don't remember the stint in Miami, but that was a great, a player who would get under people's skin.
Yeah.
Like, who was he? Got into it with one receiver. Who'd he get into it with?
Oh, Grimes?
Like ripping his helmet off, and like that's that level of like.
Yes. I forget who it was. Ooh, a lot of Ricky Williams in those.
It was Megatron. It was Calvin Johnson.
Really?
It was. Nice.
Yeah, you're right.
Falcons 06-12. The Hamburg Sea Devils in 07.
Oh, nice. Well, oh, he was a Sea Devil.
1 year with the Sea Devils.
I didn't remember that.
13-15 with the Dolphins. 16-18 with the Bucks.
That's a good career.
Never once in Tennessee. Why do I think he was in Tennessee?
Grimy, as he liked to be called.
I'm thinking of Cortland Finnegan.
Oh, wait, I am
Cortland
thinking,
Finnegan
wait,
was
I am
with Andre Johnson.
That is what I'm thinking of. That was Cortland Finnegan. I'm not thinking of Brent Grimes. I'm thinking of Cortland Finnegan.
No, you're off.
Damn it.
A lot of Ricky Williams on the text line. That would be a good one. Nobody's mentioned Dan Marino, but like that's obviously an old school classic. Larry Zonka?
Dan Marino, get out of here.
Irving Fryer?
Ricky Williams is all.
Back with Ronnie Brown.
Ricky Williams is all. That's the pothead crowd right there.
Do you remember who Ronnie Brown played with at Auburn?
Yes, Cadillac Williams.
Famous backfield. They were like two top five picks, weren't they?
That was an undefeated Auburn team, Keith.
They were?
I think they went 13-0 and got left out of the national title game.
I benched Ronnie Brown in fantasy the day he blew up against the
Wildcat. Oh my God. Wildcat day?
Yeah, Wildcat
day. Torched him. Was that 09?
Like, yeah. What did he like throw for three and run for three? It was something amazing. Obnoxious. I couldn't have been. That was right there. I was surprised I didn't quit fantasy sports. Right
I was at the old Joshua Tree that day in Allstate. Is that still in existence?
I don't know.
I was there that day and it was unbelievable. You're like, oh, okay, it's the Patriots. The Dolphins are really bad. And this came out of nowhere. Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams just throwing to each other, running all over the place. What the hell is this? You're like, this should not be allowed. Outlaw this. Why is this happening over again?
Is this true, Billy? Somebody in the text line said Grimes. I don't think they're talking about Brent. I think they're talking about Frank Grimes. Lived above a bowling alley, below another bowling alley.
I think that's the case. I think that's the case.
Just constantly hearing the ball
over his lunch with his name clearly written on it.
That's so good.
Nice.
R.I.P. Frank Grimes.
Yep. Ricky, next question.
Number Ricky three.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. No, next, all right. next question. Next.
Number three, will Tua ever play again?
I think he will.
I think he's going to play this year.
I think he will, and people are going to act like they actually care when they really don't. He's going to play again, and the sick part is he probably, maybe not this season, but at some point, he's going to suffer another concussion probably, then it's going to be another whole wave of like, oh, he shouldn't be able to play.
There's no doubt he's going to suffer another concussion. The question is like, and I don't know why
like,
this
does the league step in? Should the league step in? Like, honestly, I don't think they should.
The thing with him, and I probably misspoke on this when we were talking about a few weeks ago, the concussions themselves aren't what are so, like, the hits aren't so devastating when you see them. Like, this one wasn't like a devastating hit.
No, it's the reaction to it.
His reaction is so
terrifying.
Yeah. And I don't know why that, maybe it's just, do different people react differently? Is it just he's had so many? He reacts a certain way. Like, I don't know what it is about Tua, but the aftermath of the concussions are so frightening and horrifying. Where his hand, it's just the automatic reaction, the fencer's pose, where his arms just go up and he falls back.
He's had a couple of the worst ones.
Yeah, and it's but again, it's not the hit necessarily that's so bad in these. Like some of the ones where his head bounced off the turf were horrific, but a lot of it's just his reaction. No, so you're right, Keith. I mean, people pretend to go, oh, the league should step in and all this.
Yeah.
He's an adult. He'll make his own decision.
And I think his decision is to play.
I think he's going
to
play again this year. Yeah. I forget, is he going to play again? I think he's going to play again this year, and that is an update from where I was a few weeks ago. I thought, he'll play again. Of course he's going to play again, but this year that might be too quick to turn it around and you just get back out there through the concussion protocol. I think he's going to play again middle of the season. I think Rap Sheet said the other day they're like week 8, week 9 is what they have circled. That's not even that far away.
And they desperately need him too. Right, not to separate like, you know, the life versus football, but just the point, like they've been so bad without him and then like so good the last couple of years of competitive with him.
Yeah, the Tyreek Hill fantasy owners need him. Yeah,
Come on. Yeah, but like they have a chance if he comes back and plays. It feels like they have no chance if he doesn't play. And I was never a huge Tua fan. Again, like coming out of college, I thought that was the year that Burrow and Herbert were drafted. I thought both were gonna be better than him. And you know, he and Herbert in the pros is way closer than you think, because Herbert had that great rookie year. Tua didn't start right away. Then he was back and forth. Since Mike McDaniel's taken over, like he's right there. Maybe
they're close. And the way they played since he went down underscores his value to that team. Yeah. I'm being told the old Joshua Tree and Alston is now close. Okay. That's what I thought.
Thank you.
Definitely close in Davis Square. What's our final question?
Final question. First thought when you hear Miami Dolphins.
So to me, it's Dan Marino.
Hey. Yeah, Dan, you have any more of that gum? That's none of your damn business, and I'll thank you to stay out of my personal affairs.
It probably is, honestly, Ace Ventura as well, but it's Dan Marino, and
is it a game?
No, it's not a game.
Oh, okay.
It's more Dan Marino being the example of a great, great quarterback who didn't win. So when everybody's like, you can only be a great quarterback if you won a Super Bowl, right? Like, that's the standard so many are held to. Like, oh, well, this guy's not great. He's never won a Super Bowl, or he's only won one. I'm like, so you didn't think Dan Marino had a good career?
Right.
Like, I value Super Bowls very much, and it can be a tiebreaker, or it can help sway an argument between player X and player Y. But I think Dan Marino is the perfect example of, like, you can be an unbelievable quarterback. You could be record-setting and all this stuff, but just because you didn't win a Super Bowl doesn't mean you don't belong in the Hall of Fame and everything else.
Okay, so I don't remember watching the Patriots a ton as a child, like in the early 90s. I don't remember, you know, Hugh Millen and all that. They were so bad. I don't even think my father bothered putting it on. I didn't really watch them.
Right.
So the end of 93, when the Patriots kind of got hot at the end of the year, and we were talking to Drew Bledsoe about this when he joined us, you know, earlier this season, last month. Like the end of that 93 season, I remember that. And then, so I started to get in on the Patriots then. And the opener in 94, do you remember that? It was a duel. It was Brady. It was Brady.
Yeah.
Bledsoe and Marino.
This
was the opener in 1994. Dan Marino threw for 473 and 5 touchdowns. Bledsoe threw for 421 and 4 touchdowns.
Awesome. How many attempts in that game for Bledsoe? Was that the
Bledsoe
game that
was 51 attempts. No, you're thinking of the Vikings. Yeah, that was the same year. He threw like 70 times against the Vikings.
Attempts.
It was like 40 to Kevin Turner, the late Kevin Turner. And so 51 attempts in that game for Bledsoe. Ben Coates had 161 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Ben Winter Coates.
So it was an awesome game. Irving Fryer had 211 yards.
Irving Fryer.
When I think of the Dolphins, I do think of Marino, but I think specifically of that game. Like, that's an early entry point for me, really being a Patriots fan. They lost 39-35. I wanted to say it was an overtime game, but that math doesn't work. It wasn't an overtime game. But it was like down to the wire in the fourth quarter. When I think of the Dolphins, I think of Marino and like that's the game
good.
I think of.
I also, they were one of the few teams that kind of had Brady's number. Like, Brady and Belichick in Denver was bad, and in Miami was pretty bad. And it felt like Miami was kind of up and down. You know, like, one year they might win 10 games, other years they would win 6, but they would always play the Patriots really tough, in especially in Miami.
That was, if I remember right, that 94 game, too, you'd play in Miami. It was back in the 90s when there were baseball diamonds on the field.
With Joe Robbie Stadium?
Yeah.
And that was so lame when you'd see, like,
okay,
the ball being snapped at, like, shortstop.
Like, yeah,
now I watch football in the sand.
Okay, but now I watch highlights, and I'm like, I kind of miss that. I kind of miss, like, that's the, you're playing in a baseball field. Oh, there's the baseball field.
That was insane.
Dave Tomlinson running path over the pitcher's mound, basically.
Yeah, and you're, like, trying to figure out the yard marker, and you're like, what even is this? Like, oh, he just turned 2. And you're like, that looked so JV that the NFL team.
Yeah, it was the 90s, man. It was the 90s. It was wild out in the streets.
It really was wild.
So I kind of missed that. I don't know why I missed that, but getting up with just dirt all over you.
I am, like, happy that
it's
not
everywhere.
There.
Yeah, I like that. Ben Coates is just picking a dirt right out of his uniform. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have any? Wait, when
so
you think Dolphins,
what
do you think?
Obviously, Ace Ventura.
Yep.
But another one is the late Mercury Morris. Just being on standby, waiting for a team who has a nice run to finally lose a game.
Loser. Yeah, I mean,
like, all these
we're
teams
still the only undefeated team.
Just literally waiting by his phone for someone to call him. Hey, comment on this team that was undefeated and just lost.
You're like, and the league was definitely great back then. It was awesome. You guys didn't even play 16 regular season games. But yeah, he's like just kind of a champagne party every time the last undefeated team loses.
Yeah, well, he's unable to do that now, but yes.
He's doing it in the sky.
Yeah.
The great undefeated party in the sky.
Champagne party in the sky. Led by Mercury Morris, the late Mercury Morris.
Yeah, the Finns. And it's funny, they've, like, over the years, we were talking about uniforms a lot the other day, and they've, like, tweaked it, but the tweaks are so little. Like, they've always had the dolphin on the helmet, but they're, like, the tail is, like, they're like, oh, like, unveiling the new helmets. And you're like, it looks a lot like the old helmet.
If you ask me to pick what it even is now, I'm not even sure I could get it because they've changed it so many times.
Yeah, it's
the teal and orange, though, is fire.
I love it.
Like, that's great.
I feel like I always see them, they're just wearing, like, all whites. Or, like, they need more orange.
Okay, but the all whites are good.
The all whites are decent. The
those are a good uniform.
Yeah.
I should add the uniform.
Do you like the helmet?
No.
It's like a middle-of-the-road helmet.
Yeah, no, it's not a good helmet.
Okay.
But, like, their uniform is great. The helmet's poor. I'm with you on
that.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that.
Okay. That's it's a four-pack of questions.
Last night, the Falcons were wearing their red helmets again with the black jerseys.
Look pretty nice. I tell you, I don't get how people don't like Kirk Cousins. You can say Kirk Cousins, like,
I could spin it,
doesn't win enough, and that's fine. And he hasn't won enough, and, like, he chokes in big spots. But
listen,
like,
Dan Marino had never won a Super Bowl.
It's true.
Hear about that?
I find Kirk Cousins to be very likable. I do. I don't know why. It's like he's such a dork after some of these wins. Did you see him jumping around in the locker room?
Would you watch that receiver show or the quarterback show?
I did, and I found, it's like this dichotomy with him where I'm like, I found him very relatable and very likable, but then he's also like, I don't come in on Tuesdays. And it's like,
come on, man.
You only work 6 days a week. Yeah. I know it's your player's day off, but a lot of players show up and watch film and work out and get treatment. And, like, you refuse to come in. You're the leader of the team.
Yeah.
And you refuse to come in that day. That's a tough look. But no, I find him to be relatable and likable. And he's just, like, such a dork after some of these wins.
No, and he was so good last night that they won't say Michael Penix's name for a while.
No, you're not going to hear that one.
Really kept that at bay.
Calling into the Atlanta Talk Radio.
Where's Penix?
Where is
on the bench.
So there you go. It's a four-pack of questions. We missed our opportunity to ask Dietrich Wise about his favorite Dolphin this week. We'll have to circle
next
back.
Week. I'm sure he would have had a great answer.
Favorite Texan, yeah. Dietrich. That'll be a good one.
Why is it Brian Cushing?
All right. Yeah, that's a no.
All right. Yeah, that's a no.
Worth a shot.
Dietrich Wise, pretty chatty today. He was asked about a mutiny, as were other members of the New England Patriots. Jelani Tavai was on the Greg Hill Show today. We'll get to that next in Misleading.
It's time for Misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show? You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keefe.
Misleading here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. I know this is from Hybrid Theory, but what song is it?
No, this is Linkin Park with Executioners, isn't it?
No, it's A Place for My Head.
Oh, it is. Okay. They did that.
Am I wrong? Is that not?
No, you're
not,
right.
It's Hybrid Theory.
You're right. I thought it was... They did, like, a whole thing with the Executioners. I was thinking of a different
song. Who are they?
I don't know. They're, like, some sort of, like, are they a DJ or something, maybe?
Are they joining up with the mutiny down in Foxborough? The Executioners and the mutiny?
They come rolling through. Yeah. Dude, I'm excited. Next month, the new Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
With the
female
new,
singer?
With the new female
singer. Yeah, she
female
sounds
singer.
Good.
Nice.
I'm looking forward
two
to
good
it.
Two good singles so far, so the album should be good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Is she going to sing that one?
No. She's like, they're making a new album.
Oh, there's just
I
the
think
new
she
stuff.
She is doing all the old
yeah,
songs.
Yeah,
on tour
she does.
Right now.
Okay. She does all their old stuff, but they're making like an all new one just with her.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty
well,
good.
How about that? Look, we're the Executioners maybe with the mutiny.
Yep.
Down in Foxborough. Jelani Tavai asked about the mutiny today, similar to how we asked Dietrich Wise on Jones and Keefe. Jelani Tavai was on the Greg Hill Show today about the mutiny. He said he doesn't know about it. The guys on defense.
He's like, nobody's invited me to the mutiny.
Yeah, there's a mutiny. What time is this mutiny? We normally schedule these.
I missed that.
Yeah, we normally put those in my Google Calendar. I'm looking at my Google Calendar
Fair
right
enough.
Now. I don't see a mutiny.
Check your work
anywhere.
Email, Jelani. Might be in the work email.
Yeah. Take a page off Jones's book.
Exactly.
No, it's true.
It's in there somewhere.
I missed many work emails for many years. That's true. He no one's obviously adding any fuel to this fire today. I am curious when we talk to Van Pelt, because that's another person we're going to ask about.
Yeah.
And Alex Van Pelt joins us 40 minutes from now, 12:30-ish, here on a Patriots Friday. I am curious if on the offensive side, and he's a coach, so I'm sure not, but the offensive side really is where it sounds like the frustration is being led. It's not like the defense a year ago, where I think the defense and the whole team felt strongly about Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe and sticking with Mac, or should there be a switch, even if you weren't super pro Bailey Zappe and expect big things, just we need to make a change because this isn't working. I think last year the defense had way more of a leg to stand on because they were playing well.
Yes.
They're not playing well right
no,
now.
No, you can't point
they had a very
at
good
the,
week one. Other than that, they haven't played well.
Well, even going back to the Evan Lazar thing that we started the show with about the teetering on a mutiny, what he did say in there too was the defense is mad at the defense and the offense is mad at the offense. Mm-hmm. So like they don't have time or this great four-game stretch where they can be like, hey, we'd be good if the other side of the ball was holding their end of the bargain. Because neither is. The defense has been a mess over the last few weeks. So, and Devon Godchow, even on Monday, specifically said, like he was talking about it, and I assumed he was talking about the defense when he's talking about guys are being selfish. And he even made sure to like point out, and I'm talking defense.
Yeah.
Like he's like, forget about we can't worry about the offense right now. We have plenty of issues on our own. And then you have the wide receivers all kind of pouting on the sideline. That has nothing to do with the defense and how the defense is playing. They're all mad at their own self. So, yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily a mutiny, but everybody, maybe with the exception of special teams, which has actually been pretty good.
Everybody else, special teams. Our guy Jeremy Springer.
I was gonna say Jeremy Springer. You get a good kicker, a good punter, and you cause a turnover that leads to your only touchdown. Check mark.
It's a good day.
So now maybe they're going to start chirping at everybody. But hey, guys, we had a good offensive defense. We actually might be a good team.
All
here.
Three phases, only one phase showing
one
up.
One phase, check.
Yeah.
Steal a Jeremy Swayman line, check.
So this mutiny talk, are teetering on a mutiny to get the Evan Lazar quote correct. It's been scrubbed from the internet, or at least from Patriots platforms. You can find it on the internet.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
But the Patriots have attempted to scrub it from the internet. They're teetering on a mutiny. I'm not surprised. We're not down there. I'm not in the locker room. I don't cover the team, but I also don't need to be. Like, it's not that hard to look in from the outside and say, Devon Godchow, unsolicited, says players are selfish. You have the body language of Polk and pop on the tape, Douglas.
Yep.
Never mind him squawking earlier this year about receivers who feel like they should get the football. You have like a potential disciplinary issue going on with Ramondre Stevenson for his fumbling. You know, never mind you have a rookie quarterback, the Bugatti in the carport, sitting there waiting. And it's not that hard to read between the lines and say things don't feel quite right in that locker room. And that's before you even get to, Keith, Mayo and Van Pelt, who don't totally feel aligned.
It's funny, too, the Jalen Reagor thing.
Mayo and Wolf, who don't feel
aligned. You mentioned
aligned.
The Bugatti. Yeah. Sorry to just interrupt. Yeah. But like the
he's gone.
But it's also another one that we haven't even...
You forget about.
You forget about it completely. And he's on the practice squad. It's a little bit different.
Shoot another
one. But like when you're talking about like how good the locker room is or whatever, and like those are lesser guys, and they're easier to sort of like, Okorafor, whatever, like never lived up to it. Jalen Reagor wasn't on the active roster, so you kind of move on. But it's like, all right, still just inside the locker room. Like he has a locker. Like he's on... technically on the team.
He's part of the team.
Yeah. So, but it's easier to get rid of those guys, right? And so, like, we'll see how far that goes and if there are more voices that come out. Again, Bill Belichick felt like he had to trade Randy Moss, of all people, back in the day because he's like, Randy Moss is a popular voice in there, and if he gets a hold of a lot of these guys, I could really lose the locker room. And I don't know. I don't think Mayo is in jeopardy of that week four. And as you've been pointing out, there's probably plenty of guys actually on Mayo's side. It's a weird situation where some are mad at the GM, some are mad at the coordinators, some are mad at whatever. You know, teammates, like maybe not as many guys are as mad as Mayo. However, he is the head coach. So at some point, like you are in charge of all of that. Even if you have less responsibility than the previous head coach, you are the head coach.
Yeah, and I just don't think the mutiny is directed at Mayo. Like, I think Mayo feels the same way as a lot of the players in the locker room who want to make a quarterback switch. I know a lot of you feel that way out there at 617-779-7937. So will a bad performance, will it change the timeline based on how some players are feeling in that locker room? I know there's a lot of Bill defenders out there who are looking to crow. You can jump in there again on the phone, 617-779-7937. The one thing I'll say about this situation and where they're at, I said early in the week, I didn't think Mayo had lost the locker room or that the locker room was in that bad of a spot. I'm like, I think they're close to it. I know if Evan Lazar, who's pretty mild-mannered, Keith.
Works for the team.
A team employee.
Yeah.
Usually, typically, in our experiences interviewing him, you know, a glass half full kind of guy when it comes to the team.
Yep.
When he says they're teetering on a mutiny,
woo,
it might already be pitchforks and torches are out. And so I wonder if I even went far enough earlier in the week wondering where the locker room was at.
Well, also, they're feeling it, too, because they took that down. So Evan Lazar says that. It's one thing to just say it and put
it out
there and move on. You're like, all right, that's his opinion. That's maybe his informed opinion. But that's also one guy saying
it. As you said earlier, just laugh it off. If it's not even close to the truth, laugh it off.
Obviously, it's very true. It's very close anyway.
They took it off of YouTube.
Yep.
They scrubbed the audio.
The team did, yeah.
From the segment. The Patriots did that on their website.
It's like, oh, doth protest too much?
Right.
Yeah, that's what
I read it. So it seems like Evan Lazar was onto something. We can continue with your thoughts on this. Are the Patriots players on the verge of a mutiny? And Gerard Mayo responded to that very question. We'll get to it with your phone calls next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.